Hello, this is Dr. Wendy Hill. Welcome to Understanding Your Own Spirituality. Your well-being is determined by your willingness to take conscious charge of your life. Most people live unconsciously, never understanding what motivates them, never able to take real charge of their lives. To find happiness, you must be willing to learn as much as you can about yourself. Make a conscious study of your thoughts, feelings, actions, and reactions. The more you understand about yourself, the more you are able to take conscious control of your life. The more responsibility you take, the more you experience happiness. In your search for happiness, there are two aspects of yourself that are important to understand and explore. They are your psychological nature and your spiritual nature. Your psychological nature is what you believe and feel about yourself and others. It's also how you perceive reality. It's how you behave, react, and communicate. It's the choices and decisions you make in your everyday life. It's all your history, everything that has ever happened to you. It's your emotions and your personality. Your spiritual nature is the part of you that knows through intuition. It is the part of you that understands the experience of love. It is your compassion. It is the part of you that knows of your true greatness. It knows and understands the true meaning of life and takes joy in that understanding. Your spiritual self sees all as equal and interrelated. It feels a connection with all. It knows the true experience of a higher power. It longs to be at one. It longs to be acknowledged and experienced by you. Often people are left to the study of themselves without a clear understanding of how these two aspects of the self interrelate. They may say, psychologists should discuss psychology, and ministers should discuss spirituality. But in reality, they should be understood within the context of each other. One can't truly understand one without understanding the other. You must understand how both relate to your personality. You must understand your own psychological nature, your beliefs, attitudes, emotions, reactions, and behavior. And you must understand your own spiritual nature, your intuition, your highest self, your love, and your compassion. It's also important to know that religion and spirituality are not the same. Religion is based on a spiritual philosophy that declares certain concepts to be true. These concepts are accepted by people that form a social and economic institution. Religion is the institution resulting from that philosophy. It's not spirituality itself. Spirituality is something that is within you and is natural to you. Spirituality is the personal and individual experience of the higher or divine self. It comes from within. Religions have evolved from perception of spirituality, but are not spirituality itself. Religion is introduced to you from the outside. For example, it may come to you from the teachings of another person or from a book. True spirituality comes from within the self alone. People, religions, and books serve only to inspire and confirm what is already known from within. It's necessary for you to explore your inner spiritual nature as a part of your psychological growth. You must learn to balance and know your entire self in your journey toward true happiness. Explore your psychology and your spirituality. Take the psycho-spiritual path. Now you can see yourself not just as a psychological being or spiritual being. You can see yourself as a psycho-spiritual being. Consider these aspects of your psycho-spiritual self. You have an adult self. This part of you is conscious of your present experience. You have within you a child self. This part of you is aware of all your past experience. Much of the memory of your child self is buried and not conscious. A part of your child self is calling out for you to help. This is the wounded child within you. We all have been wounded in childhood. This is natural. Childhood, by its nature, is difficult. You also have a high or divine self. This part of you is the most lasting and real part of you. This part of you is great and loving and wise. You can learn how to inwardly communicate with each of these aspects of yourself. For example, as you learn of your spiritual self, you can communicate that wisdom to your adult self. Your adult self can then communicate this wisdom to your child self. This communication to the child self can have a positive impact on your deepest beliefs. Old conflicting beliefs from the past can be altered, upgraded, and matured. This automatically changes your perceptions and feeling in the present. Automatically, you begin to become more at one with yourself. Your sense of well-being increases. You become more responsible. You become more in charge of your life. This wonderful change can happen only with the understanding and help of your spiritual self. In your search for happiness, you might try religion, or you might try psychotherapy. You might try health foods and exercise or higher education. None of these alone will work. All of these have healing qualities and can enhance your life. But each is only a piece of what is required for you to achieve happiness. You must find a balance. Learn how to give to yourself what is needed of each. Each of us longs for the spiritual experience of love. No matter how educated, healthy, religious, or psychology smart you are, you need this experience in order to be happy. No healing can occur without this experience. The experience of love is not the thought of love. It is not the idea that you are lovable or the knowledge that you are loved. It is the experience of love. The experience of love gives you the courage to face what needs to be faced. The experience of love allows for good health. The experience of love sets you free and allows you to live and die in peace. The experience of love brings joy. So many don't know how to experience love. Many have sought it through other people, money, achievement, or material things. Some tell themselves that they are loved, but don't feel it. Some seek it through religion. Others seek it through psychotherapy or the study of psychology. Love is a spiritual experience. To achieve this awesome and blessed experience, you must do your psychological work and combine it with your spiritual work. Learn to blend the two together. If you don't do that, you're in danger of living in partial truths that don't truly satisfy you. Don't use the study of psychology or spirituality to hide from your problems. Use both to help you face your problems. You must face what you fear. Understand and heal your childhood. Face with courage what confronts you in your adult experience. Own what you experience. Take responsibility for it. Feel your feelings. Express them and accept them. Learn to speak your truth. Learn to understand your mind, body, and emotions. Take responsibility for your experience. Denial of your problems only holds you prisoner. The process of maturing is long and often difficult. We are complex beings. Happiness requires a lifetime of commitment and courageous inner confrontation. This is the hero's journey. It is the journey to the self. It is the process of self-realization. Spiritually, you must be willing to open your heart and discover its contents. This, too, is a part of the hero's journey. This world is filled with contradictions and injustice. Sometimes it may seem insane to open up one's heart to give and receive love. Yet, this is what we must do. Psychology and spirituality are governed by different sets of rules or laws. The laws of psychology make logical sense. Psychology is the study of the natural progression of events in life and your response to these events. Spirituality is the experience and understanding of your non-physical soul self. Often, spirituality does not seem to be logical. It's governed by a set of laws of its own. For example, forgiveness is illogical in the face of hate and danger. In order to forgive, you must know that you are safe, loved, and innocent in spite of adversity. This knowingness comes through the higher self alone. It is experienced on the spiritual plane. One can't see, prove, measure, or touch the evidence of what is true. Yet it is known. This is why spiritual realization seems so secret and is often misunderstood when shared. Spirituality is, by its nature, a private experience and can be proven only to oneself. The proof cannot be transferred to another. Each must take the journey by his or her own self. Psychology and spirituality are so intertwined, one can't understand one without understanding the other. You need to take responsibility for and develop both to be happy. You must do the work of finding and healing your inner child and accept adult responsibility. You must also find your heart and establish a firm relationship with your higher power. Do your psychological work. Do your spiritual work. Find the quiet amid the storm. Learn to master yourself. Before we talk about your higher power or divine self, let's talk about the child's concept of a higher power. And for now, let's call it the ruler. Before religion was introduced to you, before the presentation of the idea of a god, before any philosophy or dogma of any kind was taught, you already knew that there was a higher power. You had no name or other language for it. You came to know it from your actual experience. You knew it as you felt your own vulnerability. You knew instinctively how fragile your life and feelings were. Your sensitive mind knew, even in the womb, that there was something of great power that determined your well-being. Your mother was a part of that great power. You had no name for mother, yet you could feel mother's feelings, hear her conversations, and experience her very health. You knew that mother could determine whether you lived or died. Mother was the ruler. If this ruler didn't want you, you could die. If this ruler wanted you, you would live. So her thoughts, feelings, health, and expressions were of intense concern to you, for they influenced your experience, your thoughts, feelings, and health. Mother wasn't the only powerful influence. There was father and others that were in relationship with mother. These other people were also powerful. Their power increased after you were born when they entered your life more directly. Your well-being was influenced by the actions, attitudes, and feelings of these people. You knew without a doubt that there was a ruling power. This ruling power expanded beyond mother and father. You began to notice that your parents and others also seemed to be influenced by some unseen ruling force. This unseen power was to you the supreme ruler. The ruler determined your well-being and was seen as good or bad depending on your experience. If your experience was pleasant and your needs were filled, the ruler was benevolent. If your experience was uncomfortable or painful, the ruler was malevolent. Your literal infant child mind didn't allow for much further analysis or articulation. At some point, your parents' religion or philosophy was introduced. This further confused you due to the fact that their teachings at times conflicted with the ways they felt and behaved. Still, to you, your experience of life was the word of truth. Your experience was what was real. And when you learned language and were able to repeat your parents' teachings to yourself, you had two definitions for higher power, one relating to the ruler born of your personal experience and the one that was more real to you, and one relating to what you were told by those you loved and trusted. Remember that even a non-religious family still has a philosophy. That philosophy may be taught or may be the result of family experience. In families with no formal religion or philosophy, the religion becomes the interpretation of the experience. For example, if family life is difficult, then the family philosophy becomes, life is difficult, and so on. This family philosophy had developed much like the ruler of the child. So your definition of a higher power was by and large defined by your experience, and in particular your experience with mother and father. How you felt, how well your needs were filled for love, nurturing, health, touch, stimulation, and safety, all were deciding factors in determining your deep-down beliefs about the ruler. To you, the ruler could be good, bad, punishing, unpredictable, rageful, judgmental, loving, etc., depending on your experience. These beliefs became the foundation of how you presently view the nature of reality. Even if your later experience improved or changed, these beliefs are the most compelling and influential in your life because they were the first. Most of your experiences that formed these beliefs are now forgotten. Even the memory of your beliefs has receded into your subconscious mind. Still, you continue to be influenced by these early and now buried beliefs. All your automatic reactions are based on these beliefs. Whether you are aware of it or not, the ruler of your infancy and childhood still reigns supreme over much of what you think, feel, do, and decide. Such a thought may leave you feeling helpless. Why should I be concerned about beliefs that I can't even remember I have? You are not helpless in your forgetfulness. You can use the tool of regression to reveal to yourself this valuable information. Because of the profound effect that your early beliefs have upon you, it's well worth the time and effort to find and understand them. By becoming aware of these hidden beliefs through regression, you can come to learn a great deal about yourself. As you learn, you will have many aha moments and experiences. So many things about yourself will come to make sense to you. You will understand your fears and reactions. You will be able to forgive yourself for being human. You will make sense to you. You will be in a position to heal confused, negative, and unbeneficial thoughts about yourself. You can then heal the thoughts of the wounded child within. You will also come to know more about the true nature of your own spirituality. You can create for yourself a definition of the ruler that is beneficial, a definition that is based on love, forgiveness, integrity, and safety. You can literally tell the wounded child within yourself of a wonderful ruler that loves the child and wants the child's needs to be filled. You can visualize within yourself a whole new set of experiences for the child, giving that part of yourself new, more helpful memories. In this way, you can expand your spirituality and bring more peace and success to your everyday living. The ruler then can become the great, loving, wise one within yourself. There resides within you a very special sort of consciousness. This consciousness is different from any other consciousness that you possess. It is also a kind of energy. This energy, when trusted, understood, and activated, is the essence of the most powerful forces in nature. Its scope and understanding go beyond cognitive perception, even the profound reasoning abilities of the very brilliant. It is because of this very aspect of this consciousness that it can seem magical, though the laws that govern its existence are perfectly reasonable within its realm. Another aspect of this consciousness is that it remains a secret within the self until such time that certain other energies from within the self come together to reveal it. Because of this seemingly hidden and secretive quality, when this consciousness is revealed to the self, it seems like a revelation. The energies required to reveal this consciousness are the energies of desire, humility, and pain, coupled with a request for help from some unseen, even unfelt force. Initially, it's a desperate cry. Later, it becomes a cry filled with trusting anticipation. This combination of energies ignites this special consciousness. It's the key that opens the previously sealed door. Once this consciousness is opened within you, you have available to you wisdom, unconditional love, and knowledge regarding all areas of your life. And once opened, it will call you again and again, even though your mind and emotions may resist. It is the call of the Great Loving Wise One within you. The Great Loving Wise One is none other than your higher, greater self. It is the part of you that you may have denied all your life, yet longed for from the beginning. It's the perfect balance of love and wisdom. When in full communication, it fulfills you and all your desires. The Great Loving Wise One is your perfect mother. She regards you with tenderness and compassion, giving you her undivided attention. She will hold you in her arms, giving you freely all her acceptance, no matter what you may have done, thought, or felt. She will show you truth through her intuition. She will show you how to love. The Great Loving Wise One is your perfect father. He will guide you with wisdom and fairness. He will show you how to think and point you toward wise actions. He will always be at your side to help you make decisions. You will feel his arm about your shoulders, and you will feel his strength and power through him. He will show you discipline and warrior spirit. He will show you how to assert yourself. He always accepts you as you are, while quietly encouraging you to follow your truths. The Great Loving Wise One is your perfect friend and lover, never leaving you in times of need and comfort, always tender and supportive, bringing to you company, humor, and sensuality. Your perfect friend and lover will never leave you. The Great Loving Wise One is your perfect child self. Your perfect child self is joyful play and innocence. He or she will show you spontaneity. You will learn how to have real fun, the kind of fun that transforms and heals, the kind of fun that bursts forth with giggles and laughter. He or she will show you the joy of unabandoned, loving fun with yourself and others, loving fun without shame or embarrassment. Your inner great loving wise one is all the people you need to feel whole and healthy. It provides you with all the guidance you could ask for. It is your perfect inner family and friends. When in contact with your great loving wise one, you are never alone. Such a prize doesn't come easily. The great loving wise one's existence may even seem unreal to you, an exaggeration, at best an unobtainable goal only for saints or the insane to experience. You may look around you and see others in your life, even the ones you love and respect the most, make no mention of this miracle within themselves. How can the great loving wise one even be if no one else sees him? Consider this. This miraculous energy is so personal that those who know it will only express to another when the time is right, if at all. It's something that is discovered by the self alone. It's too sacred to be broadcast loudly. Also consider this. Most have not discovered their own great loving wise one, and if they have, may not as yet trusted it. Your fear of being alone can drive you away from something so wonderful, since so few share in its beauty. Nonetheless, each of us has our own great loving wise one. It is within you. Your desire alone will ignite the conscious practice of this energy. It's found in the quiet of your own self. Go within any time or place seeking the whisper of love and wisdom. Persevere with determination. Eventually, the great loving wise one will answer. It can't resist your sincere call. The great loving wise one will not come to you unbidden. You must ask. The more you ask, the more open your communication. It's like fine-tuning a radio frequency within yourself. At first, it's difficult to find the right frequency, but once found and practiced, it will come more easily. Eventually, the communication can become instant. Then instantly, you are not alone, and instantly, you have access to love and wisdom. You may want to spend long periods of time communicating within, having conversations, asking, then listening. The more energy and time you invest, the more you discover of the riches within yourself. The great loving wise one will become a constant companion, no matter what you're doing. Here you are safe, loved, worthy, alive, courageous, trusting, and wise. Why walk through life alone? The great loving wise one is not for the crazy or the saint alone. It's for you. It is real. It's not a figment of your imagination. It's an energy as real as the energies of physics. Reach within and find it.